You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's sugaring season in Michigan. So did that burst of warm weather we had a few weeks ago give maple syrup producers anything to worry about? It's a pretty valid question. Michigan is number 5 in the nation for producing maple syrup. The Michigan Maple Syrup Association tells us that maple syrup's adding about $2.5 million to Michigan's economy every year. Kirk Hedding is here with us. He owns H&H Sugar Bush in Chelsea. Welcome, Kirk.
Thank you.
Am I right that there is a real art to knowing exactly when to tap your trees? It's not a matter of, hey, here's the date, we should do it now.
Yeah, there's definitely no set date. It's a lot of guesswork, a lot of paying attention to weather, and definitely taking the chance of throwing your taps in. You don't want to miss runs because normally the season's 4 to 6 weeks long, so it's a very short season for making our product. So if you miss a few runs, you definitely miss making some syrup.
And when you say miss a few runs?
The sap flow, when the sap is coming out of the roots of the trees and start going up towards the branches to form the leaves that they use the nutrients for, the sap. You're looking for that sap run going back and forth up and down the tree.
What happens if you start too early?
If you start too early, it's usually not the biggest deal, but you could actually lose out on late runs because the after you drill a hole in the tree, it's just like us being cut. They want to start healing as soon as they can. So, again, that's that 4 to 6 week window, sometimes a little bit later, that the hole stays open enough that sap will still flow. So if you start tapping too early, the holes could dry up eventually also.
So you're missing out on product you could be getting.
At the end.
And then what happens if you wait too long?
If you wait too long, you just might miss it all. You just 3-4 years ago, I think we went straight to almost 80 degrees in March.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was a 3 week. Like I said, average of 4 to 6 weeks. Well, when you get that average, that means you got some lower weeks too. So we had 3 weeks.
That was we all remember that was a truly horrible year if you grew cherries or apples.
Yes.
The fruit people really took a hammering that year.
Yes.
So what about this bump we had at the beginning of March? Was that of concern?
The bump as in with the warm temperature.
70, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we started making some good syrup then. Mm-hmm. Not so much worried. Southern Michigan, we have a tendency to tap late February, make most our syrup the couple first 2-3 weeks of March, and then, of course, slow down late March. Of course, the farther you go up late in Michigan, a little bit later in the season you go. Some people have had great seasons this year. Our particular operation in southern Michigan seems to be around that 2/3 of a crop made. So lower than average. You go up a little bit more north where they didn't get as big of a bump. They got a nice bump is what they got out of it. And they've been making a good amount of syrup up there.
What's the process of actually making the syrup that we put on our French toast or our pancakes?
So the easiest aspects of it is you could collect sap. And on average, it takes 40 gallons of sap. You remove 39 gallons of water, and you end up with 1 gallon of syrup. That's the real simple terms of it.
And it's done by boiling it off?
We boil. That is the main way of doing it. Back in the Native Americans starting it a long time ago, that's what they did. They boiled. And that's what we still do. You always have to boil it. We do incorporate more new technology into it, reverse osmosis machines, remove a lot of water from the sap for us before we start cooking it. Saves a lot of fuel and time in the long run. When you're heating that much, we use firewood. It's one of the number one ways of cooking is using firewood. Fuel oil is the number two. And it's a lot of fuel that you go through. So the reverse osmosis machine runs off electricity, and it processes it a lot faster to remove the sap. You still have to cook it down because that the good flavors that you expect from maple syrup and the nice colors from it, the tans and the dark browns and stuff, that comes from the cooking of the sugars in the sap that start to caramelize. And as we do with cooking, caramelizing sugars brings out different flavors for as long as you cook it, different flavors come out.
Now, I'm real interested how you got into this because I don't know where anybody goes to get a bachelor's in maple syrup production. How did you learn this?
Well, internet is a wonderful thing and a dangerous thing. My wife and I started 11 years ago now. We started off with 10 taps. And
what drew you to it? What was the thing?
We actually were camping, and we bought some maple syrup at a farmer's market. We loved it. Neither one of us had had it before. We all raised in log cabin and Aunt Jemima syrup.
Yes, right.
And we're just like, that's a lot better. And then, of course, you start researching. It's like, well, that's even better for me than the other stuff. Then, of course, you look and it's like, well, how do you make it? And then it's like, do I have any trees? And so we went from 10 taps, and now we're up to 1,800, almost 2,000 taps.
How much do you produce? How many gallons
a year? Every year is different. Every year ballpark could be 400 to 600 gallons a year.
That's
for
something.
Our for our operation.
You know, I think about what you're describing, and many of us grew up reading the Little House books, the Laura Ingalls Wilder
yes.
books, and of all the stories she tells, the pig slaughtering when she was a little
yep.
girl watching Mom and Pa do that,
yep.
and when they were in the Wisconsin woods doing the maple syrup just is branded in my brain.
Correct.
Stop and think. You're carrying the torch. You're doing something that the First Peoples did and
yes.
carrying it on. Do you think about that?
Oh, all the time. That's, everybody asks, where did this start? And we all go back to those stories and we all look at Native Americans back in those days. They actually made maple sugar out of it. So they just cooked it down longer, removed more water. It was more stable for them. That way it wouldn't spoil. They could take it wherever they want because they didn't have refrigeration, a lot less to carry around. And it just has transformed throughout the years of what we needed in society-wise. Beet sugar, cane sugar is a lot cheaper to produce. So it, maple sugar wasn't as prominent back then. So a lot of people like the health aspects of the maple sugar, which again, it's just it's a easy process of removing water from sap. That is it.
And there you have it.
Exactly.
So would you, if you were grading this year as far as the kind of production you're going to get, what would you, A being, oh my goodness, we've never been better, and F being, this is horrible. Where are you?
For Southern Michigan, mm-hmm. we're probably around a C-, I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. We've had worse, and we've definitely had a lot better. As you expand your operations, you always have learning curves and stuff like that as you get bigger. Until you stabilize, then you can start really go year to year to figure things out. But this year, just it seemed like you put as much work in as normal, but you got 2/3 of a crop.
Mm, so as all farmers do, you just say, well, we'll wait till next year.
Exactly, yeah.
Kirk, great talking with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
That's Kirk Heading, who owns H&H Sugarbush in Chelsea.